join us for our presentation tonight. It'll be a little bit different this evening, a little lighter on the preaching expositionally part and a little heavier on the picture part than normal. But I look forward to it. I've been looking forward to showing these pictures and just talking about what the Lord allowed us to do. I could probably talk for a long while, but I'll try to cut it off at a reasonable time here so we can get on home and get to bed tonight for the week. Let's pray. Father, it is a privilege to be able to join together one more time today to corporately gather to worship you in spirit and in truth and song and prayer and special music and even this report. Father, we know that you have ordained all of these things. You are in control. You have appointed us to be here tonight. And I pray that tonight will be a time that we will reflect on and think back on and be impacted for the work of missions across this old earth. Lord, it's a great burden to me and even more so to you that people would know the Lord and worship you in spirit and truth. And so we pray for your help to catch that burden and to do something about it, not just intellectualize it. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I've asked Brother Reeves if he'll lead us in a few songs tonight. We'll have some scripture reading and the Smith family to minister to us in song. And then I will bring my presentation.
Let's start with number 821, please. 821.
Yeah.
Who is on the Lord's side? Send the light. And can you stand, please, as we send the light?
Thank you.
If you have your Bibles and would turn them to Psalm 147, I'd like to finish this reading project that we began so many months ago. Did we already finish it? You think so? It's a week. It's a few weeks ago, and I forgot. Was that the week that I was a zombie? Oh, I was gone. Oh, we finished it before I came back. All right. Well, nobody informed me, so excellent. Well, then I'm going to... What should we start next? Well, we're doing Proverbs, so I won't read that one. I'm going to go back to the New Testament. We haven't read 1 John, have we? We're going to read a couple chapters there. That's excellent. I thought, boy, did I really miss what I did. Somebody else has carried on for us. That's good. 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Amen. Now, we mentioned that actually this morning, 1 John. So, I've written these things, he says, that you might know that you have eternal life. And those are some of the evidences of that. All right. I understand the Smith family is going to minister to us in song. So, I'm going to invite them to come forward now and do that. Do you need any special setup up here, or is it okay this way? All set. Okay, great. start up here. I'd like to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture to set the stage for the presentation just now. It's in Matthew chapter 9. My prayer is with this prayer that the Lord may raise up somebody from our own assembly that would be burdened to participate more in the work of missions, whether it's locally in Ann Arbor or around this area or somewhere farther away. That makes little difference to me because there are sinners everywhere that need the gospel. But what is a burden is the fact that, as the Lord said in John chapter 4, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Here it says in John 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's our prayer, and I hope that burden will also burden your heart as you see some of these pictures and things that I share with you about what I experienced in Chile, or Chile, as they say. This kind of service is sanctioned in the Bible. In Acts, we see that the apostles went out, and then they came back and reported to the church what they did. So we're just following the biblical pattern. You folks supported me in doing that. The church did cover the airline tickets for me, which were not cheap, but I'm thankful for that support, and you allowed me the opportunity to minister to these folks. So let me just turn on this and get some of these pictures going, and maybe Andy can... off to the side and go through these. Let me just start by giving you a couple of details of what I did there, and then I'll show you these pictures. I was asked to minister to the missionary family. They have a conference once a year in which they gather together their three countries, and Chile, Argentina, and Uruguay, all the missionaries from those countries. They gather together for a week of refreshment and spiritual teaching and business. And so I preached 7 or 8 times and did 2 or 3 workshops and led some morning devotionals. And there was another man who came with me, Bill Hickson, who's been with the mission much longer than I have. Pastor Hickson is the pastor of Athens Bible Church in Ohio. And he has been with the mission for probably 25 or more years. He preached morning sessions. He preached through the Book of Ruth. And my responsibility was consisted of the Sunday morning, Sunday night, and all the evening sessions except for one for that week that I was there. And I actually was there for almost 2 weeks, and I did some devotionals and things the other days. Also, some of those days I had workshops, and 3 or 4 of those days we had some meetings, business meetings with just the board or with the whole missionary family. So there was, particularly the day before I became ill, it was from 7:30 in the morning till 9 at night, solid, no stop work, teaching and meetings and things. So don't think that you were supporting a vacation. It didn't feel much like a vacation, although it was very interesting and good and that way. So Chile is a country that has about 14 million people. And let me just start these up here. I've got two folders full of pictures. And I'm going to see if this thing works here. I don't know if it will or not. Doesn't seem like it's doing the job here. Whoops. Let me back up. There we go. Got it. Okay. This is going to get feedback if I go over here too much. Okay. Unfortunately, these aren't timed very well, so I don't know if I can stop them or not. This is the part of Chile where I was, Santiago, and if you look, I'll zoom out here a couple of times. There it is in the world. But Chile is a country of about 2,700 miles long, and the section that's highlighted in the blue there is from Santiago south to Temuco, and that's where I traveled, 500 miles. So it seemed like a long distance, but it wasn't very much compared to the length of the country. 14 million people, about 7 million of them are in Santiago. Right here is a statue of the Virgin Mary on the highest, almost the highest part of the city of Santiago. She is standing on the head of a serpent. This is not working. These are going too fast for me. This was given by the French to the people of Santiago of Chile. Does that remind you of another French sculpture statue? Same guy was involved in part on that. So this is traveling into Santiago. You can see the hills. It's right in the Andes Mountains. A couple of cool pictures there. Not a lot of growth on those mountains there. This is the house where Curtis and Diane Stewart are. They are the field directors in Chile. You can see the bars everywhere and the gates. That's because stealing is so common in Chile. There's the garage to the left. Barred in, otherwise their car would be stolen. Here's a Bible Institute that's not too far away from there. Upstairs furnished a little living room and a bedroom for some students. There's the kitchen of the Bible Institute. This is the outside of that building, and there's Curtis Stewart locking up the building after we left. Next door to that is the UCB, it's called, the Unión de Centros Bíblicos Church, which was planted there years back, and that's next door to the parsonage, which is next door to the Bible Institute. All the churches that are planted by GMSA in South America are called Unión de Centros Bíblicos, UCB churches. They just give a standard name for that. I was only here for a couple of hours after I got off the plane at 6 in the morning. Then we went on the road, traveled those 500 miles south, and the sign here says emergency. See your ticket, or it gives you this long number. That's like a phone number. Like, man, if I have to dial that in an emergency, I'm in trouble. but anyway, here's the checkpoint, just a toll point, actually. And we passed through many of these. It costs probably $40 to go from north to south at 500 miles. Here's my room in the Bible Institute in Temuco. After traveling all night and all day, this looked nice. We ate in this room in the Bible Institute. That wall, by the way, let me see if I can capture it right here. That had fallen down in the earthquake last year. This is the Bible Institute building. It's a very old building. It was put there in the 1950s, but it was actually moved from another location piece by piece. They took it apart from farther south, and then they numbered all the pieces and put it back together. Mike Scarfo would appreciate that. Numbering all those pieces. Back here is where the Bible Institute was. They had to take it down, and they're going to be rebuilding a new one behind here. The instructional classrooms, I should say. So this building was the housing, but now is also housing and classrooms. And they're going to be rebuilding here on the same property. This is in Temuco. I'll show you some other pictures of that city. Then we went south from there farther to the place where I stayed for the last half of my trip. And you see that white-capped mountain in the back? It's a volcano. It's called the Volcán Villarrica. There's some smoke coming out of there. There's a nice little bridge I took. A couple of pictures of that. There's me and Pastor Eric Watson, who was one of the speakers. He spoke one night and led some devotionals as well. There's Pastor Bill Hickson teaching in Ruth in this little meeting building here. There's no indoor heat here except for the fireplace you see in the back, and we did have to run that a couple of days because it was kind of cold. Here's international business going on with all the missionaries there. This is a series of pictures from left to right of the lake on which the camp sits. I've got to have Dwayne put these four together so I can have a nice panoramic view. The volcano is off in the left up there behind that hill. You can't see it because of the hill, but it is there. So that's the lake that it sits on. This camp is about 10 acres. Nice little camp. It's a little rustic, though. The cabins have electricity, but most of them did not have any plumbing. The cabin I was in was pretty posh. It did have plumbing. And for the speaker, they gave a special cabin. Here's just some people mingling. Here's some children. They had a little children's program for the kids there, so they had a little parade one day. That lady there is one of the missionary daughters who's married to a national pastor. Here is, on one of the afternoons, we got away for a couple of hours and saw this lava flow, lava field. I actually have one of those. I wish I had brought it. It's in my bag, actually. It's not in here. But that's a lava boulder there that I'm standing next to. I brought home three of those little rocks there, one for each of the boys. And that came down from that volcano up there in 1971. That was hot lava for years. Cooled now. But some of the missionaries were there in the 70s before that blew its stack. And then they came afterwards and saw the result of that. Some of that went into the lake, by the way, and heated up the lake for a couple of years. This is the plaza in downtown Licon Rey, which is a city right on that lake, has a public access to the beach there. Some of the children singing at one of the meetings. I missed this big railroad bridge, but I got a little portion of it. Something about fatal accidents there. There was a man putting up a sign in the town. Oh, whoops. I did not rotate that picture. Sorry about that. There's a little waterfall off on the way back up to Santiago that we saw. And there's a little river from it. There's another view of that. They're building a stage down there to have some event. That's an interesting little picture. We almost broke the roof on that parking spot there. We had that van packed to the gills. There's a German restaurant there that we got to on the way back up. There's a sand... sorry about that. I should have rotated that. I didn't realize it wasn't. This German restaurant is in a tent open to the outdoors. And you see that hole in the center of the tent? It seats about 400 people. They're going to take it down and put one that seats 650. A very good restaurant. Mike Scarfo there is the biggest curlicue light bulb I've ever seen. They squirt water over the top of the thing and it comes down in the middle, and that's their air conditioning. It was very effective. It got a little hot in there, and so they squirted that water and it cooled down right away. There's the gardens there at that German restaurant. They had very good food. There's a horse that I saw on the road. This place, I ordered mashed potatoes and chicken, and when they brought it out, much to my delight, there was a very large pile of mashed potatoes, which I did finish. It was the half of a chicken that I couldn't finish. But it was very well done. So anyway, that's a little bit about the food there. Here we are just leaving from the airport, the whole missionary family that brought us back up. There's the Gibbons on the far right. And then Lois and Loida, with Pastor Eric Watson in the middle, right here. And then while I'm taking the picture, there's Pastor Hickson, Curtis Stewart, and his wife. Some of the missionaries, Andy Thompson, Terry's son, Sergio and Andrea Duarte. And Andy's wife is with her back to us. That's Colette. And then Tim Gosen, one of our missionaries that we support, Bill Hickson, and myself. Terry Thompson, and a short-termer here is Dwight Stone from another church. There's Tom and Debbie Gibbons on the right, and this fellow on the far left is, let me get back to him, Richard Allen from Northern Ireland. He has a great accent, and short-term missionary. And this fellow back here is Stephen Revois, and speaks four or five languages. His wife Marianne in the middle. He ministers, I didn't know much about him, but he ministers to Jews in Buenos Aires. And so doesn't really publicize too much about the ministry. Now this is an interesting picture. This is Lohan, this man on the left. And then he ministered to the children during the week. And then this fellow, here is Marcelo and Marcelo's wife, Teresa. She is the missionary daughter that I mentioned. He's a national pastor. He's 32 years old. He's pastoring two churches and preaches at one preaching point, which is not yet a church. A very dedicated young man. There's Dan Vallette, who's a missionary. And Bill Hickson again. There's the building in which most of our meetings were held. A very humble place. Guess who that is? Anybody know? Andres Gosen. Andrew. When I saw him, he just looked at me and smiled and said, "Guess who I am?" I was flabbergasted. He's grown about 3 feet. Well, not quite that much, but since the last time I saw him. He supplied some of these pictures, by the way. Here's some of the young people at night. This is what a cabin looked like there. Bunk beds made like that. No insulation. Just wood walls, a tin roof. And that was not the cabin I stayed in, but it was similar to it. Then, there's some of the girls. Little Madeline, the little baby. She stole the show that week. Here's the Thompson family. You see Terry and Carol in the middle, and their two sons to the left, and their daughter Christy here, and her husband David Flink, and all the grandchildren. Great picture. Sergio and Andrea Duarte in Uruguay and their three children. Tim and Christina Gosen. And look at Andrew's surpassed his parents now. They're the three speakers from the week. Pastor Hickson and Pastor Watson and myself. And I just threw in these guys. They were not able to be there, but this is Mariano, Becky Proto, and little Enzo. You remember them. They are our supported missionaries as well. They were here when last... summer or something? I can't remember. Anyway, we're back to the beginning of those. Let me get another set of pictures quickly for you here. Thanks. I think I'm going to sit back here one row. Okay. Now I have a. These actually were not taken by me, so I have a key for these somewhere here. This picture is the congregation at the San Bernardo Church. The couple on the left is the pastor and his wife, Ramon Cancino, but he's suffering with diabetes and is not well. So Curtis Stewart often preaches there. There's a person in the blue, the third one, Yolanda. She helped start that church. There's actually Curtis Stewart, the field director there in the back. And here is his wife, Diane. And there is Judy Watson, who is Eric's. I guess Eric's taking a picture, so he's not in there. But in any case, let's see here. This is a slow way of doing it. Some of the children in the church. Can I hit that? All right, some more of the kids in the church. Here is another. You see that Union Centro Biblico, we would say in our poor Spanish, church. This one is, that's the San Bernardo Church in which we just saw the folks sitting there. Another view of that. Here's a little bit of food. I unfortunately didn't take pictures of the food, but there was some very good food there. They call this pastel de choclo, corn pie. Includes a piece of a boiled egg, an olive, chicken and or beef with the top made of corn and baked. A typical Chilean food, rather like a stew, he said. Eel, a delicacy in that restaurant. Here's another picture of that Bible Institute up in Santiago that I was at, in that same church that I showed you before, the Bible Institute as well in Chile. Parking lot there. This is interesting. Manuel and Marta. Touch pads. You touch them and they move you. Manuel is a chemistry professor at the university. Feels called to preach, so he's cutting down on his duties as professor. And he preached at the church called Monteverde when they were there. So that's a sign of dedication, isn't it? Give up on those secular duties and go into work. That's the Monteverde Church, the outside. Here is La Moneda, Santiago Presidential Palace, offices only. Here's some guards on horses there at that palace. Here's what's called the Santa Lucia Castle or Fort. Here is way up in Santiago on a high point in the city, looking down on it. Couple of shots of the city. Remember I said 6 to 7 million people in the metropolitan area of the city. Then we have the Virgin Mary again stepping on the serpent with the word I am, the Immaculate Conception, engraved on the doorway just below where she is standing. That I think it's about 60 or 70 feet high, that statue, just to give you an idea of the size of it. Here is a horse meat market. Okay. Here's a fruit and vegetable market. Very nice and colorful things they had there. There's some more. You see what I see? The pig head right here. You see, it says cabeza, head, 400. It has a little dollar sign there, but that's 400 per kilo, and so that's 400 pesos. If you do the math with me, what you do is about 500 pesos per dollar. So a quick way to do it was to double to 800, and then divide by 1,000, about 84 cents per kilo. So I guess it's a little cheaper than some of these others you see, $24.80. I think there's a lot of waste there, but I'm not sure. I haven't eaten one before, so haven't eaten one. Okay, here's the horse meat, the horse little sign there. Here we are eating in that Bible Institute, as I mentioned. Because they told us. They were very kind to... Actually, so we had something called cazuela, which is like a stew that had whole potatoes and a big piece of meat and corn in it. And I had an empanada, which is a pastry kind of thing on the outside, stuffed with ground beef and gravy and onions. Very tasty. What else? There's all kinds of stuff. It was good. You wouldn't have been grossed out by it at all. You would have enjoyed a lot. Well, if you're an adventurous eater, I guess. But I did enjoy that. Man, it went two clicks past here. Let me just get back onto my key of these. This is a Mapuche church. The Mapuche Indians there in Chile were never conquered by the Spanish in this section of Chile. So there's always been a rivalry there of that sort. But Pastor Eric went to this church with Terry, and the pastor is a Mapuche Indian and preaches at this church, and Terry was there as well with them at that particular meeting. Anna? Oh, for unto us a son is born. Unto us a son is given. Government will be on his shoulder. And he will be called Admirable, Wonderful, right? Counselor, Mighty God. Yeah. There you go. So we had a help translating. That's good. Spanish. Yep, that's Spanish. Just a rock in front of that church there. Yeah, here is the volcano again. And it's a good sign that there's smoke coming out. That means it's not building up pressure inside and about to blow its lid. So that does happen very frequently. Here's some of the young people. They wash dishes for pay. And they came away with pretty good pay that week. Here we are just about leaving the camp on Friday morning. Let's see. And then we're back to the beginning of those pictures. I'm not sure, to be honest, what the elevation of Santiago is. I can say a few other things, though, now that I'm done with all these pictures. I am coming up to the end of my time. Let me see. I mentioned that stealing is very commonplace. It is. In fact, a couple days before we were picked up by Curtis, he had his wallet pickpocketed as he left the bus. They have a large crowd of people that hem you in before and behind, and one of them gets your wallet, and then they all go off together and share the proceeds, as it were. Stealing is not considered wrong by a lot of the population there. It's just bad to get caught, that's all. So, gives you an idea. What lessons did I learn? One of the things I learned was that the humble circumstances in the one place where we stayed really tested my patience. You would have the same experience, I think. We were in a cabin that had a toilet, as I said. We were in posh living conditions, but the toilet was actually not installed properly, so it was leaking on the dirty side on the floor. And so it was a bit nasty that way. But that's a lesson learned for me. Cold and damp. Went down in the camp area where we were for that week. You got in your sheets in the bed, and they were just like they were out of the dryer, but not dried long enough. They were just still damp. And yeah, Dwayne, I tried to drink entirely bottled water, which was a bit of a challenge, but you just have to plan your water usage a little bit. I tend to drink a lot of water, so I'm buying gallons of the stuff. And they did have some boiled water there. But as I said, on Tuesday I was very busy and extremely exhausted and didn't sleep well. Tuesday night and Wednesday morning I woke up sick. I got, as they say, Montezuma's revenge. And so I had eaten something or drank something that had some bug in it. So that affected me for the rest of the trip. And it actually took me quite a few days to get totally over. I'm not actually totally over it yet, because then I had to take some antibiotics and that killed all the good bacteria. And so building back up to normal standards here. But anyway, yes, I have done that, eaten a lot of yogurt. Also, another thing I saw was the dedication of the missionaries to the souls of the people there. They give up a lot, these missionaries, to serve the people of Chile. I mean, they live among the humble and lower middle class to lower class people there and minister to them. It was an encouragement for me to see many other sound believers in a faraway place. Certainly thankful to be living in the United States. Not everything is ideal here in terms of the society and stuff, but man, it's a lot better than a lot of other places. And just be thankful for that. Something of general interest, they had gotten some redwood trees from a forestry service back in the 60s, I think, or early 70s, and planted them. And there are some very large redwood trees there now, but they're only about 40 years old. So wait for another couple hundred years and see how big they get. Very nice trees. Just excellent. Straight up, I don't know, 70, 80 feet tall already, and they're going, they're on their way. I think I mentioned most of the missionaries that I met in the pictures. I mentioned about the Revois, and he was interested because I was interested in Jewish ministry, so I talked to him and his work in the synagogue. He's going to a Jewish rabbi school to make contacts with people and working in the synagogue and working into their trust and speaking to the Jewish people there. There's Daryl Thompson and his wife Erlyn. That Bible Institute that I stayed at, they run that. And Daryl Thompson is no relation to Terry Thompson. It's just the same last name. But it was their daughter who was married to the national pastor. Daryl was always on the edge of his seat when I was teaching. It was just like, you know, he really appreciated what I was saying. There was Bobby Vallette. I mentioned, or pointed out Dan Vallette, his brother's Bobby. He is handicapped, actually. He can't walk very well. But he's a missionary, full-time. And in Uruguay and working there. Some of the young men I showed were future leadership potential there in the mission, so you can pray for them, Andy and Dan and David. Prayer requests. The mission family has one difficult issue they're praying over and working through, and that has to do with the indigenous side of the mission. That is, there are a lot of churches they planted over the last 80 years. There are about 3,500 believers in those churches scattered throughout Chile, north to south. And so the mission has interaction with those churches, and there's some questions and tensions in that interaction on how exactly do we work this out. So it's a good problem in a sense to have, but it does take wisdom to figure out how to handle it. They have the same kind of church problems that we have in our country. People that don't attend, they get divorces, there are problems with pastors and deacons, and everything that you know here is there. There's nothing different. And so you can pray in that way for those folks as well. And pray especially that the Lord will raise up more laborers for the field. Some missions have considered Chile to be an evangelized field. In a sense it is, because there are a lot of indigenous churches there. But in another sense, the job is never done because you're only one generation away from having no church at all. And there are lots of places that don't have any sound gospel witness. They have Catholic churches and other things. The cults are there as well. And so it's a very important thing that we pray that God will raise up laborers for the harvest and maybe even some of us. Pastor Bill Hickson, who was with me, was my roommate for the couple of weeks we were there. Actually had injured himself before he came down and was bugged by that injury. He has to have a little knee surgery now, so you might pray for him to correct that problem as well. I mentioned full-time laborers, but you know, you could take a little bit of that vacation money that you've saved up and go down to the field, one of these countries. And if you wanted to do that, I could set that up for you in very quick order. So you could go down there for 10 days or a couple of weeks, buy your plane tickets, and I could find you lodging in Chile, Argentina, or Uruguay. You could help on the camps, at the churches, give testimonies through translation, do a building project. The sky is the limit, but you might consider doing that sometime instead of going to Hawaii or something, if you ever had that opportunity, and use your time to serve the Lord. And I would like to encourage you to do that. Some of you folks that are single, married before you have kids, or maybe your kids are out of the house, and you would invest that way, the church would certainly help you and sending you down there and pray and provide some financial help as well to help these folks. To some who are in remote areas, I know it's a breath of fresh air to see somebody from the States and somebody that wants to help them. Bill. That's right, yeah. Yes. So as far as the question of Bill asked about safety, it's okay, especially when you're traveling in groups. That's better. If you're like me and you're just out there by yourself, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Tall, skinny gringo, you know. It doesn't look like he fits in. But so you'd have to be careful in those circumstances. And so I was always, you know, with somebody who was escorting, driving, whatever. So I didn't really feel, except for a couple of times when there's big crowds and you're kind of like, you know, hanging on to your wallet and, you know, make sure that you're okay. So that part's okay. And then the other question was about, what was the second question? Reception of folks coming to preach the gospel in the churches. It's excellent. There's no problem with that. Of course, in the long run, it's best to have indigenous folks, that is, native folks, as pastors and teachers. Really, if you get over the language barrier, as many of these people have done very well, then there's a totally open door for you to preach the gospel to folks there. And then the cost of the Bible Institute, probably they have floor plans for it, but I'm thinking somewhere between $100,000 to $200,000 they're talking about. I mean, they're going to build a significant facility. They don't have Bible institutes just everywhere, but in a couple key locations in the country. And so students will come there from the churches and stay there and just give themselves to the study of God's Word until they're ready for ministry. So there's other projects, too, like that, like at the camp in Argentina. They want to finish their main camp building and then build two large cabins, each cabin to hold about 50 people, to sleep about 50 people. And so those are about $50,000 each they need to do that, put plumbing and electrical and all that sort of thing. There is so much work. We could send work teams down. We could all go, if we were all super handy, and spend months working, building, helping, just on that aspect of the ministry to help with that. So, good questions. Anyone else want to ask Sarah? No, actually, almost all the people in the mission speak English. A couple of them speak very halting English because they're from Germany, so they speak German as their mother tongue and Spanish as their second language. So I was tasked with kind of encouraging the missionary body, and when they meet as a missionary body, their practices were going to speak in English. But there was a ton of Spanish going on all the time. So I did not get to get into any of the national churches because of our schedule, how busy it was. But if I had, then I would have had to speak through a translator. Yeah. Anyone else have other questions? Mark? Like? Right. That's part of the transitional issue that's going on there. Right now, there's a corporation that is the national church that holds all the properties. It's extremely difficult to incorporate there in these South American countries. It's not like us. We can just pay a little fee and, you know, boom, we're incorporated as an ecclesiastical organization. So they have a corporation that owns a lot of these properties. And the mission also has a little corporation that owns some properties until they're transitioned over to that ownership body. So there are some complexities there about things, and sometimes they've had pastors that go astray and the property becomes an issue and stuff like that. But generally it's held by one of two parties. Either the mission has a corporation there or the National Indigenous Church has a corporation that does the titling and holding of the properties. Anyone else? There were lots of kids there, Jack. You would have loved it. You should go with me next time. Yeah, there are. There are some. Let's see. What else have I left out? I think I've covered pretty much everything. Any other questions you want to ask? Or And we had to fly through that. Ben. Yeah, they will go door to door. They will do a lot of track passing. They will do things at like festival times and things when there's gobs of people out in the streets or whatever. I showed one. I mentioned one picture of a plaza in Licán Rey. It's more of a kind of a European design, but in the center of the city, there's this park plaza thing, and people hang out there. You could go talk to them at that place, at that sort of location. They don't do any, as far as I know, any radio work. So a lot of personal contacts, personal work, track passing, and things like that to make contacts. Yes, Mark? Not as much that they mentioned. There are some there, mainly the Catholic Church and some of these cults. Let me give you an example of how the Catholic Church... See, it used to rule the country, basically, and it has a very powerful hand still in the country. In fact, there are Catholic people placed in very key locations in government, so that when, for example, they want to get a permit to do a building, a church building, a camp building, or whatever, it will be held up for months and maybe years waiting for the permitting to go through. It's just a nasty trick against the evangelicals. So they've had to work very hard as just evangelicals to have privileges in the country to do things. And you see that the statue of the Virgin Mary is really emblematic of the pall or the shadow of Catholicism over the whole land. It's darkness, spiritual darkness. So, anyone else? I don't want to cut anyone off. But it was a great trip for me. And, you know, of course, the downside being away from family for that many days, but we were able to keep in contact and really just increased my burden for the people there and the ministries. We live in pathetic comfort while people give their all for the gospel. And we need to consider our ways when it comes to supporting missions and our missionaries. I know some of our missionaries are not supported at 100%, and the number doesn't matter, 100% or 95%, whatever it is, but I'm just telling you, they do sacrifice for the Lord, and it's good for us to keep that in mind. Living in humble circumstances and away from family and all of that, preaching the gospel. And so a burden for us to kick it up a notch as far as sacrifice for the Lord and give up some of the comforts and creature comforts, as they say, and really focus. These people are focused. They understand that there's an eternity at stake. And I hope that I've communicated that a little bit with you as you've seen some of the people in those churches and the Catholic influence there and so on. So I'll close my report there and just ask the Lord's blessing as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us the privilege to look at these pictures and see the things that were there in Chile. We didn't see hardly much of the country at all in those pictures. There's so much more. And so many more souls, and so much more harvest that is ready to be harvested. And Lord, there's the same here in Ann Arbor. We know that there are people that you have called or will call to yourself through the gospel of Christ. And I pray that you might use us. If you've counted us faithful, use us to share the gospel with more and more people and see some come to know Christ as their personal Savior, be added to the church and added to the chorus of those whose voices praise the Lord our God. Help us to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. Help us pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers for his harvest. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.